Yeah, yeah, you know, and Alan, I think, like Wendy was saying, and I know Deb, we're kind of like looking at each other. You, when you look at America, I only know America. This is the country I live in. But as I talk to people, saved and unsaved people in America, you know, what's the problem with Americans? Are they ignorant or apathetic? And you'll ask an American, and they'll say, I don't know, and I don't care.
Right.
So it really is. So I do, like you say, I think the numbers are diminishing over a conference like that, because the people that aren't woke but have woken up,
right.
That's it.
Yeah.
The rest of them are just being led around by the nose by a world entertainment industry, sports entertainment, and they're just clueless to what's going on in the world. They are ignorant, and they are apathetic. They don't care. They just want to live with their device in their front of their face.
Yes.
And having their brains checked out. So I've always got a kick out of that. Not a kick out of it, but it's sad that this country who was politically active and knew right from wrong has basically checked out.
Right.
So we're the ones who are preparing for what's coming. Like Curtis said, when this thing happened with Israel, I was getting texts. People were emailing me, is this it? Is this it? You know, and a lot of them are pre-tribbers. You know, and I'm like, we've seen this before with Israel. This is not the first time. Is it intensifying? Yeah. The more we come closer to the second coming, the more these things are going to intensify. And there are wars and rumors of wars. We see the Ukraine. We know that Russia is trying to pull China into a war with the United States. We see all that. These are wars and rumors of wars, and I am have my head on a swivel, have my spiritual head on a swivel. I am watching what's going on. You know, no warning at 2:20 on your phone is going to stop a nuclear warhead from destroying you. There's something else going on. I don't know what it is, but I know that they're lying to us. So I am spiritually preparing for what's coming, and I really do. I think the timing of this study about 2 Thessalonians, the second coming, is so important, because we're the ones who know the truth, and we're the ones who are going to have to defend what we know, and what God is doing here is he's arming us how to defend, because we're going to get into some of this stuff now as we start to move forward in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to get into some of the things that they're saying, the pre-tribbers, the dispensationalists, that are not biblical. They're not accurate. They're lying. Right. And I think a lot of it is intentional. And I say that because...
There's no doubt in my mind.
Right?
There's no doubt in my mind.
Kev,
yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
There's no doubt.
And I know that because I'm the dumbest of the dumb. And I'm not just saying that to sound... But right, but you can't lie about the scriptures.
Amen.
The scriptures are clear, and if God could show that to me, you know what? And like Kevin said, they are clearly lying.
Not only can he show it to you, but he can hide it from you.
It's right. It's right.
God knows how to save the righteous out of wickedness.
It's right.
And so these things that we're seeing, they are real, and I'm not surprised that a lot of people don't see it.
That's right.
I'm not surprised about it.
Yeah.
But I do believe that there are many nefarious humans.
Yeah.
That are actually being guided, led by Lucifer.
Yeah, I agree.
The Prince of Darkness.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
So it's not just, I said that, it's not the novice.
You know, right, yeah. Right.
Who's just kind of riding.
Right. It's the experts.
Yeah, it's dispensation. Yeah.
The leaders.
Yeah, it's the experts.
Yeah.
They're the ones who vested interest, it seems.
Yep.
I mean, there's nothing that can explain why you would deliberately not see things.
Yeah.
And remove stuff from statements from like our the Nicene Fathers.
Yeah.
Just remove statements altogether and patch things together.
That's right.
It's like, it's weird.
It's the ones writing commentaries.
Yeah.
In your Bible.
Yeah.
But look, here's the book of Revelation. Here's a couple of the verses. Here's the commentary.
Yep. Yeah.
It's the people writing commentaries. It's the people writing books.
Yeah.
Say, we're going to tell you what that says.
Yeah.
And we're saying, we're not going to believe what your stupid books say. It's the people making movies. It's the people making CDs and selling them to the, like you said, to the novice.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Wendy.
There are A.W. Tozer. said, there are devils that know theology better than I
That's
do.
That's right.
They are still devils.
That's right.
And it's like,
yep.
Well, I just read that this weekend, and I thought about, you know, our...
Yeah. You think of last week, we had two people come in here that were, one thing we do here is line upon line, precept upon precept, whether it's Bible study or preaching or teaching during Curtis's. 3 hours they were here with us and they believed a lie. That there is a group of people out there called Muslims that are better than Christians. They're not better than us.
More peaceful.
That's right.
Yeah, they didn't see
anything. I know, you know why I can say they're not better than us? Because I have something in me that they don't have that is better than anything in this universe, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen. But just to make sure, they didn't say that they were better. They said that they were more loving
right.
than Christians.
They knew how to love.
They knew how to love.
You got to be careful who you call a Christian.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Who you're comparing
yep.
to.
Right.
Amen. A lot
yep.
of people call themselves Christians that
yep.
have no testimony at all.
Yeah. So to me, why are they here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they coming? Do you think you're going to come in here and you're going to start changing our minds to put this aside and to go by our feelings?
Yes, because you're an old bag.
Right? Okay, so, all right, we'll get started on this. And like I said, as we move forward with this study now, I'm going to start exposing some of the lies that we're being taught. So, you know, this started with 2 Thessalonians, and I wanted to start with verse 10. In chapter 2, because the word of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what matters. The word of the truth, the word of God, Jesus Christ, the truth. That's what we go by. And so we looked at verse 1 the last couple weeks, and it's talking about the coming of the Lord and our gathering unto Him. And we found out that it's one day.
Right.
We found out that it's going to happen quickly.
Yeah.
And today we're going to look and see that it's going to, as a thief in the night. But what they have done is they have taken that word quickly and as a thief in the night, and they've changed the word. They said it's imminent. That the next prophetic event on the calendar is the rapture. It's imminent. Nothing needs to happen for the rapture to happen at any moment. So I will get into some of that, but the Bible does not teach it's imminent. The Bible teaches there are things that have to happen first before the second coming.
Real quick quiz. All right, because we've been doing this for a few years, and this just popped in my mind. I'm not trying to run your class. As we look at Scripture, the next thing that will be recognized and would be what? The rise of the little horn.
That's right.
Watch yep. rise up. Wars and rumors of war.
Yep.
Earthquakes in diverse places. Right. We're seeing the signs and wonders.
That's America, right.
Right. I had a Joshua's wife, Christy, she showed me a picture of a long bunch of lights. They said it was the International Space System, and there were things running into it because one light would disappear after another light disappears after another light disappeared. So things in heaven
yeah.
we've not ever seen
yeah.
before.
And, okay, so like you said, I need to see a temple.
Mm-hmm.
I need
yeah.
to see an abomination that's going to cause the desolation. I need to see these things, but Curtis, if you believe that we could be gone at any moment now, we don't see any of that stuff.
Right.
And what does the Bible clearly say? You know, I was reading one of the, it's almost, I can't stand reading that stuff.
Yeah.
But I was reading it, and it was like, well, Paul was teaching that he could be taken out any minute. And I'm going, what did Jesus Christ tell Paul, Kevin? They're going to kill you.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to kill you. That does not sound like a pre-trib rapture. Paul, they're going to kill you mm-hmm. before I come.
I told Peter that.
Right?
Clearly told Peter.
Yeah.
But maybe
it was Peter. Yeah. Well, you're going to go to Rome and you're going to die.
Yeah.
You're going
yeah.
to go to Rome and
yeah.
die.
Yeah. So, yeah, and what Paul taught was to be watching and to be sober. Watching what? You know, when nobody's
because
walking
that
around.
That word is going to be continuing.
Yeah.
Day yes.
That's right.
Just that day
yeah.
that he's living in. It's for
yep.
out.
But they have, but the pre-tribbers have you watching, looking up, because he could appear any second now. That everybody's walking around like this.
And
that's not what we're watching.
One of the tragedies of that is that he tells us to be one body.
We that's right.
To take care of one another, to serve one another. Yeah. And we have literally cut off
yeah.
our brothers and sisters that are suffering right now
yeah.
because they don't fit the pre-trib rapture. What happened to them?
They have cut us off.
You have
yeah.
to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I've noticed about Wendy. You could go into any church and you could start talking about anything. You bring up, well, I don't agree with the pre-trib rapture. They will cut you off. Okay. They will tell you to leave.
Two things. King James.
Yep.
Bible.
Yep.
Right, King James. And pre-trib.
Yeah.
Right? If you talk about those two things.
Yep.
You can have any of the alphabet versions
yeah.
of the Word of God.
Yep.
The Word of little g God. And, no thing will be said. Nobody's going to come against you.
The attack is against the truth.
Right.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Yes. Why is it so offensive? I mean, you know, you believe all these are the words of God, right? But if I tell you the king, John just witnessed this. Mm-hmm. He goes to a men's group. I encourage it because he needs to be there with them.
Yeah.
And they started busting out, looking at some passages. And so John helps his friend to look up a verse, and he gives him King James. Oh, nobody speaks like that anymore. Why do they only do this with the King James? They're offended by it.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to move on here. We're going to look. So, you know, this goes along with the coming of the Lord and our gathering, and that it's coming as a thief. But just what you see right here, is it up there?
No, we don't see nothing. Nothing.
Does the TV time out?
Crisis, doesn't it?
You got to know these things, Curtis.
I know nothing.
Okay, so here's this kind of like last week, goes along with last week that it happens quickly. Hebrews 10:37-39 says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe unto the saving of the soul." So you can see here, what's being taught is that when it happens, it's going to happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to tarry. But there is a group that are going to draw back. And this is the warning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that there's going to be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed. A falling away is people drawing back. People walking away. My soul, whose soul? Jesus Christ, God, will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. I'm not. You're not going to get me to believe your doctrines of men, because I have a Bible.
One of the key things that is in there is verse 38, the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
Well, faith you don't see.
That's right.
Faith you just simply believe.
That's right.
Right, and you got to believe it to the point that you stake your life on it.
Yeah.
That things have got to change internally because of what you believe externally.
That's right.
And so only the just can do that. How does one get just? You are justified through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
His death, his resurrection. And a belief that changes your internal being, that your external being shows the evidence of it.
Well, that verse right there, the just shall live by faith, I believe is mentioned four times, 37.
Yeah.
Four times in your Bible, right? Yeah, four times in your Bible. It's in the Old Testament.
Yeah,
Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. So the same gospel is in the Old Testament that's in the New Testament.
Yeah.
But yet what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to change us. Because we're under the Gentiles are under the dispensation of grace.
Right.
You know, and the Jews weren't. Okay, so
They never tell you to find it for yourself.
That's right.
But when they're talking about dispensationalism, they're going to teach you.
Yes.
Yeah.
They don't ever tell you to go to the Bible and find it for yourself.
Open up,
for
yes.
Yeah.
Open up your scripture.
Yeah.
With that, no, they say.
Yeah. This is where affliction is absolutely necessary for our souls, because it's only in brokenness throughout our life. Because we are not going to just all of a sudden be there and I can see you do it through a series of losses, brokenness, sorrow.
Right.
The only one that can heal, the only one that can bring comfort is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so we have afflictions throughout our lives to prepare us.
That's right. That's why I say, Wendy, as we see these things start to happen, we're the ones with the truth. It's not just up here teaching and looking at Bible verses. What we're doing here is we're preparing on how to defend this. Because we are going to get into conversation. I just did it just these last couple of days, I got into a handful of conversations because of what's going on in Israel right now. And I'm saying, no, we're not going to be taken out at any second. We're the ones who have to be able to defend it. So I'll show you some of the things that they say and what the Bible says. But I want to start with these two that is coming as a thief, Revelation 3:3. You see it there? Mm-hmm. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Revelation 3:3, he's talking to the church. He's talking, what is the, when we read these candlesticks, the candlesticks are church people.
Right.
So they're not church ages. He's talking to people. He's talking to Christians. You're the church. So he's talking to us. So think of this. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Therefore, if thou wilt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. This is talking to the church of Sardis. So he's talking to a Sardinian type church person. He's saying, if you're not watching, I'll come on you as a thief.
Very excellent church.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But think of this. When does he come as a thief? Well, that means that they have to be watching for something. Look at Revelation 16:50. What I like about this is clearly the day of the Lord, Revelation 16. The day of wrath, which comes at the end of the world. Not 7 years before. Behold, I come as a thief. This is Revelation 16. This is the day of wrath, the end of the world. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them into a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial upon the earth, into the earth, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne of God saying, it is done. It says 7 years before. He's clearly putting the coming as a thief at the end in Revelation 16. And what's the common word here? You better be watching.
Yeah.
Because if you're not watching, I'm coming to you as a thief. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 about this coming as a thief. Who is he coming as a thief on? Right? 5:1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, Curtis, mm-hmm. brethren, are not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief.
Right.
Who's that? Verse 5. Ye are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet and hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to the tribulation. Wrong. We're not appointed to wrath. We are watching for tribulation. We are watching for great tribulation. Why? Because I'm not in darkness. Because I'm not drunk. I'm sober. I'm sober-minded. Because I believe I'm right with the Word of God, and I don't have a drunken spirit that's led around by a bunch of Muslims that say, oh, well, you know, we're good people, believe us, and go tug on my emotions instead of what the Bible says. So who's the one that is coming as a thief in the night on? Them! You know, and when are they going to say peace and safety? He's clearly talking about the last day, when we're eliminated, when we're gone. Right? Then they're going to say peace and safety. And then it doesn't say 7 years of destruction or 3.5 years of destruction. Sudden destruction upon them. Right? When we're gone, the Lord comes in the air. Hey, they're gone or they've killed us within that 10-day period. Right? Revelation 14 says, blessed are they that die in the Lord henceforth. Revelation 12 says that the devil will put some of you into prison and kill you, right? So there's going to be a point of time that they we've been eliminated, and in the same day that we're eliminated, they're going to go peace and safety, and then sudden destruction upon them. Clearly.
That's when they kill the witnesses.
Right? Yes.
And the trumpet sounds.
Yes. Kevin's got it. There you go. They kill the two witnesses, and what happens to the witnesses? They stand on their feet, and they're resurrected, and they're caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That sounds familiar.
Gee.
That's us. We're going with the two witnesses.
That's what I believe.
Right? It's clear. But yet, these people will tell you.
That's some destruction, too. Then it comes down. Well, earthquake, right, Tom?
That's right.
Right away.
That's right.
Boom.
Yep. That's right. Okay.
So, everybody's going to see this, including the church. The two witnesses on the ground.
That's right.
Preaching.
That's right.
For 3.5 years. The whole world's going to see, even the church is going to see them die.
Yep.
In the streets. All right. And then 3 days later, when the Spirit of God moves over them, they're going to be. So there's a warning.
That's right.
Saying that you won't know it.
That's right.
You won't see it.
Yep.
They're going to give gifts. Will you give a gift?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So there's a time period, and if you're awake.
Yep.
Then you know it.
You know it.
Yes. Yes.
Talk about the Noah.
Yeah.
7 days
yes.
before the flood.
They knew.
He knew that in 7 days, you and the ark, 7 days you got. It's coming.
Yeah,
it's so clear. You have to really lie and twist the scriptures to achieve something.
Yeah, if you're real.
It could be long gone.
I think us old guys are going to be gone, but folks like John are going to be here. Amanda's daughter, by the grace of God, they need to hear these things to be strong.
Can you imagine that day, seeing those two witnesses get killed, and the world giving just rejoicing. And if you're there at that time, witnessing this, knowing you could go just like this.
Yes.
Okay. It's time to watch. We got 36 hours, right, or whatever.
And the world celebrates.
Yeah.
They lit up a building in New York to celebrate they could take the life of a child.
Yeah.
What just happened yesterday?
Celebrate.
When Israel got attacked, what did all of the Muslim nations around the world do?
They gave gifts.
They were giving
sweets
to each other. They were celebrating in the parliament of Iran. They were shouting death to Israel, high-fiving
Pakistan,
each other. Pakistan,
all of them.
Liberia, Libya, all of the Middle East were excited.
And here in America,
the mosque and stuff here in America, we're having celebrations because of this thing.
Have you heard either Republican or Democrat say anything about it?
No,
they're fine. Are they ignorant?
No.
Or apathetic?
Apathetic.
They don't know and they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, the kids saw a show yesterday at the house, and it was showing the American flag with the national anthem. And I had to explain to them that if you stayed up till midnight when we were kids, the TV went
off. That's right.
And we saw the national anthem.
Yep.
And then in the morning, if you were up early enough, you watched it again.
Yeah.
Now with that, anything that happened like it did yesterday, all the TV stations would have been on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we've got nothing.
Yeah.
Crickets.
You know, I grew up loving sports. I just loved them. I loved playing them. I loved competition. I loved watching it. You notice the last couple of years, they don't play the national anthem on TV before our game. They do not play the national anthem on TV before our game now. They'll just cut to the game.
And again, with that, don't get me wrong, I'm a Stars and Stripes kind of
guy. Do they?
Hockey still plays the national anthem on TV, at least the Sabres do.
Yeah. Right.
But America isn't. There were years ago that I would have stood and bled.
Me too.
Stars and Stripes.
I went to J6.
Yeah.
I was there.
Now
I'm thinking, why did I do that?
I don't think I would do that today.
No, I wouldn't do it today.
You know?
If I knew today what I knew January 6th, I would have said, well, why would I go for this country?
Yeah.
I'll die for my Lord.
Right.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go to some gulag in D.C. for America that promotes child pornography and abortion. I'm not going to die for that country.
I just talked to a friend of mine who's loved one was just arrested and taken to and sentenced to 4 years in prison for Jason.
Yeah, they're not done. You can see
900 more.
Yeah, yeah, 87,000 IRS. That's right.
You just have to agree with it.
That's right.
And Hillary let the cat out of the bag just the other day.
We need re-education.
Re-educate.
Yep.
Formal re-education for anybody who trusts Trump or the American way.
So, you know, if I'm not here on a Sunday or Tuesday, they came and got me.
Yeah.
So listen, like Kevin said, think of this. Everyone's going to die on that day.
Yeah.
Whether you're transformed, your body is going to come off you that day.
Yes.
So I just, to me, this verse right here, why does God, Jesus Christ say this? Fear none of those things. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and you have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto the rapture? Unto death.
Until 7 years before the rapture.
Right? Unto death. And I will give thee a crown of life. And you're not going to throw your crown at his feet.
No.
Right? So here's, so now, like I said, something is going to happen where we're going to go, we're within 10 days of this thing. Mm-hmm. We're within 10 days of him coming back. And if they kill me, they kill me. And if I'm alive, I'm alive. Personally, it doesn't matter because I am now within striking distance. And Kevin said it. When we see them kill the two witnesses, we're going. They're going to get up in 3.5 days and we're going to go up with them. And he's going to pour out his wrath on a God Christ rejecting world. And the Muslims that rejected him are going to burn.
Well, just seeing the witnesses, you should know the clocks are started.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
When you see the witnesses, you know that three and a half years is coming.
That's right. Exactly. When I see the abomination of desolation, I know I have 3.5 years.
Right.
Start counting.
It's not the only way he said it.
That's
you
right.
To make sure there's no doubt in your mind how long that goes.
That's right.
Days.
Yeah. And don't, 42 months, 1260 days. Time and a half a time. These are constantly, and if you notice, those are 30-day months.
Yes.
Okay? So that's God's prophetic calendar, and what did he say about shortening those days?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, I think there's something to this. God's prophecy and his days are according to the way he does things.
So the abomination of desolation, is that when the temple is...
That's when Antichrist steps in the temple.
He says,
all you worms out there, worship me and my father, the devil. Take a mark in your right hand and in your forehead because I'm God. We're going to stop this daily sacrifice with you Jews. And then the two witnesses who are witnessing to the Jews during that time, something is going to start to click in their head because anybody listening to this, God is not done with Israel. He has not rejected them. He's going to save a third of them. And I do believe that the remnant that builds that temple and starts sacrificing is actually the third that is going to respond to the two witnesses when the sacrifice is taken away. Right? I don't think Jerry Seinfeld is going to start going to Jerusalem and practicing sacrificial. But there are Sephardic or whoever practicing Jews that are going to do it, and when they take away the daily sacrifice, now the two witnesses are going, the daily sacrifice is Jesus Christ.
I heard an interesting thing this weekend from FAI, right? And he said the persecution necessarily isn't going to be against Christians, because in Israel and the Middle East, they don't care.
Right.
You're worshiping a guy who died on the cross.
Right.
Who are you?
Yeah.
But if you support Israel.
Yeah.
If you stand with Israel, that's why they'll hate you.
Yeah.
If you say, I support Israel. I support God's people. They're the apple of God's eye.
Right.
They're going to be victorious.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that will receive the wrath.
Right.
Of the Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that goes back to what they believe, that the culture is one of honor.
Yes,
right.
I must appear respectable and honorable. And if anyone challenges that honor, then that's their standard.
That's right.
So Israel has has challenged them and is making them look whatever.
Yeah, I'll say this too. It seems that they don't even know what the world doesn't even know why they're being drawn in. It seems to me they have no clue. You know, the Bible says that we're going to be brought into synagogues of Satan,
right.
Not synagogues of Jews.
Right.
People are going to be worshiping the devil. They're going to build temples to him. Yeah. Synagogues. We are going to be brought into synagogues to be persecuted.
Mega churches of America.
Yes.
Mega
yes.
churches around the world.
Yes.
That are teaching another gospel,
yeah.
which is not the gospel, is already a synagogue.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so listen to what these guys, the liars, mm-hmm. I'm gonna because I agree with Kevin.
Yeah.
I used to think, well, maybe some of them are just ignorant. And I'm like, no, you're lying.
Yeah.
Because you're reading the same Bible. This is King James right here, but he's a dispensationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every believer, a thief, as a thief, he's coming as a thief. Every believer in every age of church history shall be watching for the coming of the Lord. For the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Each of the last 4-7 epistles has reference to this imminent return of Christ. See, he just interjected a word there that doesn't belong there. Imminence. That he could come any moment now and take the church. Now, you're imminent. I've said this belong,
mm-hmm.
all along.
Yeah, you can
any minute you can die and you can be before the Lord. But the Bible does not teach that he could appear at any second
right.
and take the church.
Like you've already said, we got to see a temple. We got to see the sacrifices begin again. We got to see two witnesses in Jerusalem, right? We got to see a persecution of the church that has not been like any other persecution, global persecution of the church, of those who truly trust God and honor Israel. Those will, there will, that's going to be the key things.
Foundations already laid.
Amen.
The foundations
that's right.
are laid.
Right. That's right. That's right.
So are we going to be like the 10 virgins that are asleep? All right. 5 of them are prepared to trim their wicks. Because they know, they hear the sound, they hear the thing coming, they know that it's on the way, it's time to trim your wick. Trimming your wick.
That's right.
Cut the dead ends off.
Yeah.
And be prepared to burn.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I would say, you know, getting back to what I said earlier, I don't look at, like, everybody who doesn't subscribe to the fact that it's a, you know, post-trib rapture.
Right.
And so, that they've got some sort of, right. of damn scheme going on. But the ones who I really look suspect of
yeah.
are the ones who deliberately
yeah, I agree.
Statements from anti-Nicene, the church fathers, and removes portions of it so that they could continue and you know, just rearrange things. To me, that's deliberate.
Yeah.
To me, that's clearly
yep.
deliberate.
Yeah.
And that's what, they're the ones I step back and I go, whoa, you know what? That ain't right.
Well, that's what I say. To me, this is deliberate.
Yeah.
What he
yeah.
said, he's deliberate. Because he's reading the same scriptures I am, and I'm reading, it's coming as a thief on a bunch of unbelievers.
Yeah.
He's reading the same, it's clear, it's plain. It's that we just saw it. But yet he's twisting them and saying things like this. The day of the Lord will be a period of great judgment on God's enemies. But it will begin unexpectedly and quietly. The Lord has also used this figure as a thief coming secretly. There's your secret rapture that the Bible says nothing about. Secretly, and the Thessalonians already knew from Paul's teaching, therefore we would constantly be watching for the Lord, not for various signs preceding it. But I am told there are signs preceding the second coming, the rapture, the resurrection. I am told there are signs.
Mm-hmm.
Abomination of desolation. Antichrist in the throne. Wars. Rumors of wars. I'm told there are signs. But they're saying, no, no signs. You could be gone like that. Paul was watching throughout his life as he urges, let us watch and be sober.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was told by Jesus Christ, they're going to kill you. You're not going to be raptured at any second. They're going to kill you. He says of the day of the Lord. This is first mentioned. Day of the Lord in New Testament, first time it's mentioned in New Testament, although Peter had quoted this phrase from the Old Testament, he goes on to talk about Joel. In his sermon on the day of Pentecost, this phrase is used over 30 times in the Old Testament, and context here refers to the final period of God's judgment on the unbeliever. Period. Why does it, period? Because he wants it to be a 7-year period. But God's judgment on an unbelieving world is the day of wrath, not a period.
Well, you know, actually, it is a period.
Yeah, right? Yeah, done.
There's not a time scale. Yeah.
So enough of that foolishness. I'm not going to get into these other ones. But they all say the same thing. They all say that, you know, as a thief, it's coming up as the day of the Lord, the rapture.
Is that Schofield's?
No, that's Henry Morris.
Okay.
The other one is our friend Clarence Larkin. And he was basically saying it is clear that, you know, the church is removed because God's judgment is his judgment of 7 years on an unbelieving world. Therefore, we're not here.
He's right about the removal, just the timing.
The timing's right.
Yeah.
Timing's off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But
It doesn't say anywhere 7 years. I mean, 3.5 we see, like we said, lots of times. But never 7 years. Never is it proclaimed that there's...
Here you go. In return of the Lord is imminent. However, while we may look up above, the theory is suggestive in a way conformatory of the near coming of the Lord is not conclusive. We are not warned in fixing a date based upon it. And further, we must not forget that the rapture may take place at any time before the tribulation brings in the Antichrist. And he goes on to say, we have to be removed so the world could degenerate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't we be here during it?
The Bible doesn't say the tribulation.
It's right.
It only talks about tribulation.
It's right.
It started way back 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, we just looked at the First Thessalonians that clearly says that it's coming as them as a thief in the night.
Well, along with that, then, we should be reading Second Thessalonians 2:2. Soon be shaken in mind or in trouble, neither by spirit nor word, by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first.
That's right.
By the way, what keeps running through my mind, as the two witnesses are killed, we have already had a demonstration of that. Christ was hung on the cross.
That's right.
The disciples said, I thought he was going to come and save us.
That's right.
Now let's go back to Bishop.
Yep.
That day of Christ occurs 3 times in the Bible,
yep.
And it's referring to the rapture.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Lord is referring to the judgment.
That's right. Well, and the day of the judgment seat of Christ. So God is going to judge the world by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the avenue on God, the way God does things. He's the agent that got to create, right? The universe to create heaven and earth. He is the, I don't know the word to put it, but he is God's tool that he uses to do all these things. And like you said, the word day of the Lord, day of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:8, day of Jesus Christ, 5:5, day of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1:14, the Lord Jesus Christ, day of the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians, day of Christ. So what they'll tell you is the day of the Lord and the day of Christ are two different events. The day of Christ is the rapture, the day of the Lord is the second coming. That's what they'll tell you. I don't even want to get into it, but I'll tell you what they say. First, he comes for the church. Then he comes with the church. The second coming is two phase. He comes 7 years before for the church, and then he comes 7 years later with the church. And I'm saying, there's no verse, Gala. Is there a verse that says that the rapture, there's a rapture 7 years before the second coming? There's not one. There's not one verse that says that the second coming is two phases. As a matter of fact, turn to Hebrews. He makes it clear right here, Hebrews 9:28. We already know that Jesus Christ has been here once, right? Yeah. To pay the price for sins. He's never coming back to do that again. So we're told that he's going to appear. First of all, they can't deny the fact he appears in the clouds, in the air, and they say that's a secret. Okay, for Hebrews 9:26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but not once in the end of the world did he appear to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. First coming, right? Clearly. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered and bare the sins of many. Unto them that look for him shall he appear one more time. One more time. Right? The second time without sin unto salvation. That salvation takes place at the end of the world, that we are not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5, but unto salvation. The wrath is poured out and we are saved. It's clearly, to me it's just, you know, Alan brought it up too. I want to look at this. 2 Thessalonians, put your finger there and in Luke 21, get your finger in Luke 21. 2 Thessalonians, I like this. Alan was reading verse 2 there. That you soon not be shaken in mind nor troubled. He's telling you not to worry about these things. Neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Right? So here it is. As a matter of fact, what he's telling you is, don't let anybody tell you it's imminent. Right? Right? That's at hand. Imminence. He's saying, don't let anybody tell you it's at hand. Okay, look at Luke 20. Look at 26. Look at 25. We were told not to look for signs, right? Look at Luke 21, 25. And there shall be signs. We're told not to look for signs. Mm-hmm. In the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Is that happening? And perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing for fear. And for looking for those things which are coming on the earth and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin, when they begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know that of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. So he's telling, in 2 Thessalonians, he's telling you, don't let anybody tell you it's at hand. And in Luke 21, when you see these signs, mm-hmm. know it's at hand. So I have to see signs first before I know it's at hand. And what are they? Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, famine in diverse places, abomination. Turn to Matthew 12. We're going to do a study in Matthew 24, I think, next week. So look at Matthew 24. Look at 9. Because we're going to get into this, too. Then they shall deliver you up, and shall be afflicted, and they shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth until the beginning of the tribulation shall be saved. Right? Till the end. The end. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then the end shall come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation. Mm-hmm. Right? This is what Luke tells me I'm going to see. I'm going to, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm told I'm going to see this event. Well, and they're saying, no, you're not.
It's not Luke just recorded. Jesus said it.
Yeah.
So, because other folks will say, well, Luke, you know, he's just a guy. But these are Jesus' words.
That's right.
Jesus said, look for these things. The dispensationalists, the Larkin and the other guy that's over there, they would tell you that these are not for the Jews.
Right.
These are only for the Hebrews.
Right.
I've looked for it really hard in the last 4 or 5 years. I haven't seen where Jesus says, hey, you know, for my church, this isn't for you. This is just for the Hebrews of that time. Has anyone seen that?
I haven't seen it.
The church itself, when it was started,
was Hebrews.
Was told there will be tribulation.
That's right.
There will be persecution.
That's right.
I just heard from one of the shows about a young monk that went into the Colosseum, and they were killing each other in the Colosseum. And he ran out and he said, forbear, forbear, forbear. And he's yelling, and nobody knew what this little guy was doing, right? And one of the soldiers came out and killed him. He was saying, forbear, stop killing each other.
Right.
Stop this. This is insanity. The man died in front of everybody. Do you know that was the last time they had the
martyrdom. At a Colosseum.
Yeah.
Yeah, people got sick of it.
Well, this man's death horrified them.
Yeah.
Because the soldier came out and just put him through with a sword. Here's what I'm saying. That man was following the Spirit of God in him.
That's right.
And he went into the situation. And if you look at it with natural eyes, you would say, look, he was just murdered.
Yeah.
This is awful. This is terrible. He was following the Spirit of God in him. We have that in us.
Yeah.
And whatever we are
doing,
the stronger our faith, the stronger, the more we can see through the spiritual eyes rather than our carnal, the more we're going to be able to endure.
That's right.
Because we will suffer.
I say that when Curtis gave me the podium here a couple of years ago, you do not honor Jesus Christ by taking out of the battle. You honor him in the battle, in martyrdom, in persecution. You glorify him. That is man's lust that he wants to be taken out before. And this is the Christianity in America. Are they ignorant or apathetic?
No,
they don't know fit. And they don't care.
It's a perfect fit.
It's perfect.
We're the product of a comfort-driven,
yes,
materialistic,
yeah,
self-centered,
yep,
culture. So why would you have a preacher? Right.
Right?
Suffer?
Yeah. No. Yep. Typology is a real thing. Examples in the Bible. What happened during Judges? Read the book of Judges and you will see Christian history. They loved the Lord. He looked over them. Then they got fat, mm-hmm, and they walked. They did their own thing. And they said, well, God's in this. You know, God's okay with our homosexuality. God's okay with us slaughtering babies in the womb. He's okay with it. And God's not okay with it. God does not move. He's unchangeable. Okay, so this thief in the night stuff. Look at 2 Peter. I like these. I like these verses. I know we've done them before, but I'm also going somewhere where we haven't done.
You didn't want to stay with Matthew 24 and the number
29? We're getting into Matthew 24 next week.
Okay.
I actually have a challenge for everybody. Okay, so 2 Peter, we're looking at a thief in the night. 2 Peter 3:3. Am I right here? 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers,
right,
walking after their own lust. That's what you know what I call these people? Dispensationalists. Saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of the word of God, that the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So now he's going to compare it to the destruction of the world by the flood. He's comparing the second coming by the destruction of the flood, whereby the world was then being overflowed with water, perished. That's God's wrath, right? And the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, that we are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is the day with 1,000 years and 1,000 years with a day? Concerning his coming. So here's the promise. Look at verse 4, the promise of his coming, right? Verse 4, they're saying the promise of his coming. So this is one day is the Lord and as 1,000 years and 1,000 years of one day concerning his promise. Verse 9, concerning his promise. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with great noise and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So here you go. Here's the day of the Lord concerning the promise of his coming. So typology. So how long has Jesus Christ been gone now? 2,000 years? Okay, Hosea, look at Hosea 6. Hosea 6. Nancy? 1 through 3.
Are you ready right now?
Getting there. Hosea 5, 6.
Okay.
Amen.
Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth.
After 2 days, he's been gone 2,000 years. The promise is of the second coming. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. After 2 days, he's coming, and he's going to raise us up after 2 days. Right? In the latter rain. We know there's a latter rain coming.
So, is our calendar incorrect?
I do think, yeah, I'm glad you said that.
Because we're already over 2,000 years. In our calendar, yeah. In the way that we count.
Yeah, this. Yeah. I'm not sure the calendar, we understand the time, the way we is actual. I think it's incorrect.
Yeah. Has anyone here read The Coming of the Prince? Okay, it's a mathematician a long time ago. Coming of the
Prince. Oh, yeah.
All right, he does some calculations.
Yeah.
And, you know, just from the numbers in the Bible, he's a math guy. And
that's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. But I tell you what, if you're really, I tried reading the book, it just, I have such a hard time. Well, anyone that was here on Wednesday knows I can't add. Good. And so, because we're trying to get at 1 and 1 or 11, that's it. But anyhow, this guy.
Anderson.
Yeah, that's it. Robert. Yeah, that's it, yeah.
And, get his calculations and go over them. Cliff did this, and he gave me the Cliff notes. And go over his calculations, and you can find out that our Julian calendar is incorrect. And most of the places where the Bible said that this started, that it's not right when you add the numbers up in the Bible.
Yeah,
folks really get into that.
I'm not sure this is 2023.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what, but I know this.
Right.
We'll get it right. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many years it's been since. I don't know. The Jews have messed with the calendars.
Right. Yes.
Like you said, the Gentiles, Julian, the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah.
They've messed with the calendar so much. I don't know what. I know that this I know. It's not 2023 since Christ.
Right.
It's not. I don't know what it is, but it's not.
Right.
So, and like I say, the only thing I have to go back on is to wait and watch and see what happens here.
Well, where does it start? From the time he was born or from the time of his death? Well,
good point.
Yeah. 33 years difference.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or 50 days later than that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and really, Jewish people were messing with the calendar because they didn't want to acknowledge him.
Yes.
So there was a, you there see a lot of this.
Babylonian regime, yes, that came out, yes, of Babylon, that came back into Jerusalem,
yep,
with a different,
yep,
calendar than what they left with.
Now, I do believe 6,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, not millions, not 10,000, yeah, not 8,000.
No.
6,000 years. And, you know, and there is clearly a pattern 6, there.
6,000 years.
Yeah.
5,000
plus.
Yeah. Title for this in my Bible, it says the plea of Israel. So he's waking them up.
Yeah. But we're not exempt from being, right.
No.
Yeah.
No, but we've already been awake. We know that Christ is
the Lord of Lords.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, because they requested it.
Yeah. They're partially.
You know? Yeah.
Well, they're still Jewish people, right, being saved.
Yes. Amen.
I know some.
But it needed to open up to the Gentiles.
Yes. 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 Absolutely.
He
okay.
Was officially rejected by Israel.
Right.
By
yeah.
Leaders, by
yeah.
the leaders. Yep. And by the folks who stood there.
Yeah.
You know, and said, crucify him now.
Well, that's why I think when he was crucified, he took away the daily sacrifice.
Yeah.
There's something to Daniel 9:27 that we've been told,
mm-hmm,
that I think is wrong, that, you know, I don't get it, the whole thing, but he's the one, when he hung on the cross, took away the daily sacrifice.
Well, in AD 70.
Right? Yeah, then they took down,
right,
yeah, I mean, that's when they officially tore down the temple,
yes,
but as far as a pattern for salvation,
right, oh, yeah,
he did,
yes,
it.
Amen.
Right? Yeah.
A pattern of salvation, but yep, they continued,
yeah,
to sacrifice,
right,
you know, on the Temple Mount until the,
right,
Romans came and took,
yeah,
over.
So, I mean, to me, I just look at Hosea here. He torn and he will heal.
Yes.
This is, you know, this is God's wrath, right? Hide me for a little while in your wrath, right? Then he's going to heal us. He's smitten, and he will bind us up. You know, he will revive us in the third day. He will raise us, and we will live in his sight. That's the Feast of Tabernacles, when God dwells with man. Not just Jesus Christ, but the whole Godhead will dwell with man. And we've done this. We've studied the latter rain. We saw that there was an early rain. There's a latter rain coming where, you know, like Wendy said, the spirit that's in us,
yes,
is going to be like never before, right? And I know to do right, to do wrong, but there is a spirit within me that is going to do things that are going to be unexplainable. So look at Exodus 19, 10. Amanda? 10 to 15. Typology. Typology here.
10 There's, to 15?
Yeah. 19, 10 to 15. So, in other words, there's more here than just Moses,
right,
and the people of Israel.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go into the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned, or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount.
Mm.
And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your way.
You see what's going on here? You can't go yet. You can't, if you try to get, you'll die. First of all, this is the wrong mountain. Right, this is Mount Sinai.
Check out the next verse, what happened on the third day. 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were,
yep,
thunders, lightnings, a thick cloud,
yeah,
on the mountain, a voice of trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled.
Yeah.
The trumpet, the
cloud, right?
The day.
Yeah.
You know,
and you know, man, I'm glad you read that, because clearly that's the day of the Lord. There's a typology here, an example that's the day of the Lord. It's a day of darkness, thick darkness, and then boom,
yeah,
here comes the light.
Yeah.
Right? the trumpet sounds louder and longer and longer. And as it's sounding, we go up to the mountain. Right? See how this plays out? Look at Joshua. I love this one. I saw this. This was one of those moments. I just stood beside myself. I said, I lost it because I'm a dope. And I can see this. Joshua 3, look at this. Typology. Who's the ark here? Jesus Christ, right? You have four priests, four gospels, right? Two staves that hold the ark up. Old Testament, New Testament. You have four priests. How many cherubim are under the throne? Four, right? And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he had all the children of Israel lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. I've seen the ark in my heart, and he has been removed, and I am going after it.
Well,
okay?
When we see Jesus, which is the ark.
That's right.
Removed, we will go after
That's
it.
Right. And even right now, I'm doing it.
So, the Old Testament, there's the presence of the New Testament.
Yep.
New Testament church, the folks who believe in Jesus Christ. And then there's the promise of his coming.
That's right.
As the ark of God in the clouds, and those who see him will go with him.
Yep. Verse 4. And there shall be a space between you, his people,
mm-hmm.
and the ark, Jesus Christ. About how many?
2,000.
That's a measurement. Cubits. That's a measurement. Okay, so cubits. Let's call those years. Right? this is incredible. And when you see the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bear it, shall remove out of its place. And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you may go. For ye have not passed this way hence here to for. I've never been there.
Yeah.
Right? And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. What did Amanda just read? Sanctify yourselves. Get yourselves clean. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves right because you're going. Right? For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, say, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. So when Jesus Christ was crucified, when he rose from the dead, where did he go? He went into heaven. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee. Joshua, his name is Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Right?
Yeah,
I will magnify.
Wait a minute. Before he went into heaven, he sanctified himself.
Right.
Yes, he did.
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing, right? We're getting ourselves right with Jesus Christ. That's right.
Doing. Unfortunately, a lot of people think they're going without being sanctified.
That's right. That's right. We say this all along. You play a role in it.
You
play a role in your salvation.
Yeah.
Jordan's a picture of God.
Yes. Yes. And Canaan?
Passing over.
Yeah. Picture of the promised land. Right? And the Lord said unto, verse 7, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, say, when ye come to the brink of the water of
Jordan.
Death, right? Ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord, living God is among you, tabernacles, right? And he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Seven. Complete. It's over. Right? Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passed before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and out of every tribe his man. Revelation 14, Revelation 7. The 12 tribes, we are Ephraim. We are Joshua, children of Joshua. We'll see that. Now therefore, 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of your feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, and the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. Look at 15. Go ahead. Let's just keep reading. And it came to pass that when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests and the ark of the covenant before them, before the people. And as they bear the ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests bear the ark, were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest. So look at 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
They're on water and dry ground. Daniel chapter 12 says the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ, stood in the water and one foot on the ground. He's taken dominion. Revelation 10:5 says the same thing. The angel came and he stood on the water and on the dry ground. This is Jesus Christ putting, when you're standing on something, you have dominion over it. So this is him taking dominion over the earth again. Okay. That's it this was great. I thought this was a great study. I do have homework or a challenge for anybody that wants to do it. I think you'll enjoy it. Let me see if I can find it here. I asked Curtis to put this up on the board.
What's your take on verse 2 of 3 in Joshua when it came to pass after 3 days?
Yeah, well, I think this is just them preparing for that event.
Okay.
And look at how many times it has said 3 days over the last several verses we went through. 3 days before the mountain, right? 3 days of Christ's death.
Right.
3 days of this.
Yeah.
How long was Moses by the river, or by the Red Sea, before Pharaoh came on the backside of him?
But now it's taken. That means the fourth day then.
No, I don't. I just think, I personally don't.
I would have thought it would have said during the third day, but.
Okay, so I got a challenge for you guys, or homework. You see this here, because what they tell us here is that Matthew 24, that's not for us, right?
Right.
It's for the Jews, it's not for us. But if you read Matthew 24, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and 1 Corinthians 15. If you do read those five this week, I want you by yourself to compare words that are being used in the same context in all these chapters. The same words are being used that are in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and 1 Corinthians that are for us. Clearly for the church, are the same words that are being used in Matthew 24 that they say is not for us. So just do this yourself. Make a list, your own list. Maybe you'll come up with you could see some of the ones I came up with. Matthew, they all say the coming of the Lord, the end of the world. Be not deceived. Antichrist is coming. Abomination of desolation. Tribulation. The appearing in the clouds. The angels. A trumpet. A gathering. Day of the Lord is a thief. Watch and comfort one another. This is common language throughout the other verses that talk about end times. Yet I'm told Matthew 24 is not for us. I think you'll enjoy it. I think, you get a kick out of it.
Can you say them one more time?
What is that?
Can you say them?
Matthew 24.
Mm-hmm. I should have put it on notes.
Okay. So if you go to your computer.
They're right there on the top.
You can't. Well, I'm going to have it on the chalkboard.
You can make it bigger.
Yeah, he's going to, Matthew 24. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 Corinthians 15. And what you're doing, you're looking for common words. Because that's how God speaks to us. And I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. I thank you for revealing the truth. And I do pray, Lord, you know I have a fear of you. The position that has been given here is with fear, Lord, that I don't want to be those that add or take away from the Word of God. I just want to show what it says, Lord, and let you judge. And if I've said anything that is in error, Lord, correct me. Don't hold it against my brothers and sisters, but correct me and then show me where I was wrong. I do trust you in all this, Lord, and I do thank you that you have revealed the truth to some. And Lord, there are still people that need to hear this. There's a brothers and sisters out there that are being deceived and lied to, and they like to hear it, Lord. I pray that you would open up their hearts and open up their minds to the truth of the scriptures, that your children glorify you in suffering, in persecution, and even in martyrdom. But we are to comfort one another because the day is approaching when you will have made peace with us and we will no longer live under the foot of wicked people. I thank you, Father God. I pray for Curtis, Lord. Just move him aside, Lord. Just keep preaching to your sheep. Keep teaching your flock, Lord. Move us aside and give us ears to hear and let us hear every word of God is true. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Scott.